Well, Dennis, as we've heard, was a teacher. He also loved carpentry and woodwork. Dennis had the awesome privilege and responsibility of passing on truth and knowledge to the students under his care. And so it's fitting now that for a few moments, we come to reflect on this section of John's Gospel that Chloe read for us a little earlier. And we come to look at another teacher, another carpenter, one who had the responsibility of passing on truth and knowledge to the students under his care. Jesus, on his last earthly day, gave his time to teaching his followers lovingly with compassion. And he did not just teach his followers about things pertaining to this earth, to temporal things. Jesus, in John 13 to 17, was teaching about the importance of eternal things. How we can enjoy peace with God and rest in his presence forever. Chloe read for us earlier from John 14, and it is a chapter within a broader section of John's Gospel from chapter 13 to 17, known as the Upper Room Discourse. It is, as I said, the final full day that Jesus would enjoy on earth, and as we know, dying men do not waste words. Jesus takes time as a teacher to teach his disciples, his students, and this section makes up one of the most important sections of Jesus' teaching in the whole Bible. And what is really encouraging for us today as we take a few moments to reflect on these words is that these words from Jesus were given to reassure his disciples who were experiencing grief, anxiety, and fear because their beloved teacher had been saying that it was now his time to die and go back to his Father in heaven. And so Jesus speaks lovingly and reassuringly to his students who are grieving. And I want you, particularly as a family, to hear these words of reassurance from Jesus to you directly as this morning you feel keenly your own grief as your dear teacher, husband, father, grandfather, and friend, has gone on through death home to his Father in heaven. Jesus gives two words of reassurance and a word of instruction. His first word of reassurance is this: I am going through death to prepare a place for you, my followers. Back in John chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus said to his disciples, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." And as Jesus started to speak like this, saying that he was going to go away, he was going to die and go back to his Father, his disciples were troubled. They were anxious and fearful in their hearts. Their beloved teacher, their guide, was going to depart, and they didn't really know where to turn with their anxiety. And so Jesus lovingly speaks to them in chapter 14, verse 1, saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Isn't that beautiful? To think that the Lord would speak to his followers in their grief, in their uncertainty, and say, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus was saying, "Trust me. Trust me with your fear. Trust me with your anxiety. Trust me with your grief. And in verse 27, he adds, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus, as a teacher, knows that teachers are not just there to pass on information in a disinterested way. He knows that so much can trouble our hearts and take us from a place of rest into a place of restlessness. At such times, it can be hard to take in anything that even the greatest teacher would convey. Have you ever had that experience where someone has been teaching and yet your mind and heart has been so filled with trouble that you couldn't even concentrate? Even if they were the greatest teacher, the most engaging speaker in the world, you're just full of turmoil. Well, Jesus starts where his followers are. And so he doesn't just start lobbing information in a disinterested way. As a teacher, he caringly meets his students where they are and begins by addressing the restlessness in their hearts. I find that so stunning that Jesus, a loving teacher, would come alongside his troubled students and be interested in the restlessness in their hearts. From the stories that Maureen, Jean, and Philip have shared, I really have gleaned a composite image that Dennis was a caring teacher. He didn't just turn up to pass on information in a disinterested way. He didn't just do the bare minimum or a sloppy job. He spoke in assemblies. He was committed to extracurricular activities. He was totally committed to his work and his students as a caring teacher. So Jesus reassures his disciples' hearts by explaining that it's good that he's going away because he's going to prepare a place for his followers. He speaks of going back to the Father to prepare a place for them. Jesus was saying essentially to his students who were unsure of what he was getting at when he was speaking of leaving, he said to them, look, I am going through death, and I will actually overcome death to prepare a place for you in heaven so that you can come to be with me one day. I am going to go through death to pave a way through death for you. This is how Jesus reassures his students. It's for your good that I am going to go through death, because my going through death will pave a way through death for you. And hear me clearly, if Jesus were not to do this, to go through death before us on our behalf, there would be no way to the Father, no way to being assured of eternal life with God beyond death. Death would shut us out from the presence of God forever. And you see, this is because the Bible teaches, and we know it in each of our hearts, that we have all, in some way, at some time in life, pushed God away, saying, I would rather be my own master. I'd rather do it my own way. This is the essence of sin. Sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death, we read in Romans 6, separation from God now and eternally. But our God has continually pursued his rebellious people. In the New Testament, we read of a temple. It was said to be the meeting place between God and humanity. Well, in that temple, a big curtain stood, blocking humanity from coming on forward into the presence of God. It was a great symbol of the separation between God and humanity because of our sin. When Jesus went through death and bore sin on himself on the cross, just before he died, he shouted out one word, finished. He was saying, through my death, I've paid your sin debt that separates you from God. And so what symbol was given to proclaim what Jesus accomplished in his death? We read that that big curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Access to God is open again because Jesus has gone through death to pave a way through death so that we could come to God. Jesus paid our sin debt by taking it on himself and dying in our place. He rose again from the dead, overcoming death, and now offers a place in life to any who will come to him and accept that he has paved the way through death for us. So he reassures his disciples first by saying, I am going away for your good, to pave a way through death for you, to prepare a place for you. But he reassures them, secondly, by saying, though I'm going to prepare a place, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to come for you to take you to be with me where I am. Jesus says, I will come back and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is a precious promise, and it is filled with reassurance and hope for us this morning. Jesus promises to meet those who have trusted in him when they die, or when he returns at his appointed time to bring them safely to the place he has prepared for them in heaven. Think about this for Dennis with me for a moment. Dennis trusted in Jesus in his life. He believed in Jesus' words here that the only hope of a way through death was by trusting in Jesus and embracing him by faith, receiving him as his Savior and Lord. When Dennis breathed his last breath of life on this earth, who was the first to meet him, to guide him personally through death to the place prepared for him? Jesus Christ. That is amazing. That is stunning to think that Dennis breathed his last and closed his eyes on earth and opened them to be greeted by the Savior who said, I will come to take you to myself so that you can be with me where I am, the place I have prepared for you. Dennis was not left to go through the dark night of death by himself. He had a Savior who met him. Wow! With a clear mind, with clear sight, and no insecurity about how he walked or anyone observing him, Dennis was brought by Jesus himself into the very presence of God, the place that Jesus prepared for him. You know, heaven will be great because there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more dementia or separation. But do you know what the Bible says makes heaven heaven? We will be with God. Jesus said, I'll take you to myself that you may be where I am also. We will be with Jesus Christ in the presence of our Heavenly Father if we have trusted in Jesus. So Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come to you to take you to that place. And then he adds to his disciples in verse 4, you know the way to where I'm going. But his disciples are confused. They don't understand. They say, we don't really know where you're going. How can we know the way? They weren't getting what Jesus was saying. And now Jesus, after those two words of reassurance, gives his final word of instruction. This is how you can know there is a place for you in heaven with the Father. This is how you can know that there will be one to meet you and shepherd you through death to that place with the Father. Jesus said, when his disciples said, what is the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is one of the most exclusive and breathtaking statements that Jesus makes in his whole ministry. Indeed, the most exclusive and breathtaking statement in all of history. I am the way to God the Father. Not a way among many. I am the sole way to God. I am the truth. This is true. I am the life. This is how you enjoy eternal life in the presence of God the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus instructs his followers clearly. Jesus said that he could give true peace with God, peace with God and peace within themselves. All of us know that deep within there is a restlessness residing in our hearts. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus found a friend in Jesus. Dennis found a friend in Jesus. And now, if ever he loved Jesus, it is now. We sang earlier, I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Dennis loved to sing that. Do you know why? Because it meant something to him. I want to close by simply asking you this question. Do you know that when you come to die, you have a friend who will not fail you? You have one who will meet you and bring you safely through death, protect you from hell, and bring you home to the place he has prepared for you? Do you know when it's your body there that you will have been ushered safely by Jesus into the presence of the Father? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus asked in John 11, after saying, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, I'm the hope in the face of death. He said, do you believe this? And we together have the opportunity to respond in our hearts today and say yes or no. Dennis would want me to make sure that you know your only hope is Jesus. We must embrace him together to know faith, life, joy, and peace in him. On the back of the order of service, there's a little poem included that Jean read in her tribute. Instead of going into the darkness of death alone, in the poem we're exhorted to put our hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than a light and safer than a known way. Dennis's hand was in the hand of God, and God safely walked him through death into his presence. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the hope that Dennis enjoyed in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that because of that hope in the face of death, we know that, Lord Jesus, you have come to him and you have brought him to be with you safely through death so that he could enjoy life in your presence. Lord, this is not just a fairy tale. This is true. And we pray together in light of the hope that Dennis enjoyed, that he would be honored now in these moments as we have reflected on him as a teacher, but as we have reflected on the true teacher, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we commit one another to your care in Jesus' name. Amen.